Great. Do take a seat. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and please speak to us and help us to learn from you as we look at it this morning. Amen. I wonder if you ever feel like your life is like a bit of a roller coaster with its constant ups and downs. Great highs, but sort of crashing lows as well. Do you ever wonder what God is doing in all of this? Or why life is like that? Well, over the next 5 weeks, as Richard said, we're working through a new series, learning from the story of Joseph. It is quite a roller coaster of a story, and one that we probably know quite well. But it's a great one to look at, because it shows us what God is doing in the ups and downs of Joseph's life, and how he constructs his rescue plan for his people. And although this is just God's rescue plan for a specific group of people at a specific time, it mirrors God's rescue plan for the whole world and points towards the salvation that comes through Jesus. So my hope is that each week we'll get to see how God works to rescue his people through his man Joseph, but also how that foreshadows his rescue through his man Jesus. So before we get stuck into chapter 37, let's quickly get our bearings in the book of Genesis. One of the great high points in this book is the amazing promise that God makes to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God promises that he will make Abraham into a great nation. He promises that he will be blessed, and that through him, all peoples on earth would be blessed. And we see the fulfillment of these promises in the rest of the book of Genesis and the rest of the Bible. Against all the odds, Abraham had a son, Isaac, who had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And so this is where we pick up the story in chapter 37. The nation, the people descended from Abraham, is beginning to grow. They've experienced God's blessing. But how is the whole earth going to be blessed by this little family? Well, if Joseph is going to be the hero who sorts out everyone's problems, we get off to a bit of a rocky start. You'll have seen that there are a variety of views about Joseph expressed in this passage, so we can look at it more carefully. Now, last time I preached here on a Sunday morning, I made an outrageous, untrue statement. But loads of you believed me. It was something about Nigel Farage. Ask someone if you weren't here. And I think it's really important that we form our views, not because I've said something from the front, or from what you know from the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. But we form our views because we think that God is saying it from his word. So, like last week, we're going to have a little time of group discussion now. And I'd like you to look again at Genesis 37 with the people around you. If you've closed your Bibles, please turn them back to pages 41 and 42. and have a think about these questions. What did people think about Joseph? What did his father Jacob think of him? What did his brothers think? And what does God think about Joseph in this passage? Off you go. Okay, let's draw back together. Sorry to cut into your conversations. do continue those afterwards. It's great, isn't it, to be able to look at the Bible and discuss it with other people. I wonder what views of Joseph you guys discussed from this passage. I got these. Jacob favours Joseph. His brothers hate and reject him. But God will exalt him. So this is my point for today. God's man will be exalted despite being rejected. So let's have a look through the passage. Although his dad loves him, perhaps not in the most healthy of ways, we read in verse 4 that Joseph's brothers hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. Now, we can imagine that being perhaps quite understandable. Joseph was the favourite son. In verse 3, we read, Israel, that's another name for Jacob, he loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he'd been born to him in his old age. And Joseph is also the son of Jacob's favourite wife, Rachel, the wife that he'd worked for 14 years for, and who'd been unable to bear him a son for so long. And so we read that Jacob goes and gets him a really expensive, ornate robe to wear. You can imagine that the other brothers were furious. No wonder they couldn't find a kind word to say about him. But Jacob's favoritism for Joseph wasn't the only reason that the brothers hated him. Read verse 5 with me. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And why? Well, because in the dream, Joseph reports himself to be the center of attention, with all the others bowing down to him. Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it. And this happens again. Verse 9. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Imagine how the other brothers would have felt. I don't know if any of you have younger brothers or sisters, but imagine them coming up to you and saying, you're going to have to bow down to me soon. I have a younger brother, and that thought fills me with horror. Or maybe you get a new colleague join you at work as an unpaid intern, and they greet you by saying, you know, the boss told me that soon I'm going to be your manager. There is no doubt what Joseph is saying to his brothers, and they are furious. Look at verse 8. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he'd said. The brothers hate the idea of Joseph ruling over them. And so they plot to kill him. Over the page, verse 19. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. The brothers hate and reject Joseph. Not just because of their dad's favoritism towards him, but because they can't stand the thought of him ruling over them. And so they decide to get rid of him. But what does God think about Joseph? Well, in this part of the Bible, dreams are often a revelation from God. And the fact that Joseph had two dreams saying the same thing acts as a confirmation that this is indeed from God. The meanings of the dreams are abundantly clear. At some point in the future, Joseph will be the center of attention, and his whole family will come and bow down to him. Joseph's dreams are a revelation from God about how he will be exalted. His brothers respond with hate and decide to get rid of him. But God sovereignly overrules to ensure that he's not killed, but instead ends up in Egypt, where, as we'll hear in future weeks, he will be exalted and he'll be used to save many. In the second half of this chapter, we get to see little glimpses of how God is sovereignly at work to get Joseph to Egypt. From the chance encounter with the man who knows where his brothers are in verse 15, to Reuben's prompt to prevent the immediate killing of Joseph, and Judah's bright idea to sell him. God is at work to ensure that Joseph's life is preserved and that he ends up in Egypt. God will exalt Joseph. And God is at work, even here, to accomplish his purposes. God's man will be exalted, despite being rejected. And this isn't the only place in the Bible we see God's man being rejected after making huge claims about himself. The story in Genesis is a foreshadowing of how Jesus was treated. Jesus, too, was hated and rejected because of his claims to rule over people. He claimed that he was God's son, the promised king who would reign over the whole earth. And the response, often, was hate and rejection. Several times, for example, in John chapter 8 or John chapter 10, the people listening got stones ready to throw at Jesus. They eventually got him arrested and nailed to the cross. "Ha! What would come of your claims now, Jesus? How can you be exalted by God when you are crucified?" And yet, we know that God's purposes were accomplished, even as his man was hated and rejected. Actually, they were accomplished by him being hated and rejected. And Jesus is reigning in glory. God's man will be exalted despite being rejected. By the end of Genesis 37, things look bleak for Joseph and his dreams. But in the next few weeks, we'll get to see how it all works out and how God does indeed use him to bring blessing to all the nations. And it's a great story. But what should we take away from this bit of it? Well, I think we should start by examining our own hearts. Deep down, I think we, like Joseph's brothers, like the Jews at the time of Jesus, I think we hate the idea of someone ruling over us and us having to bow down to them. We want to be in charge and have the glory for ourselves. For example, when I see that sign that says, don't walk on the grass, I really, really want to go and walk on the grass. I don't want someone telling me what to do. I want to be in charge. If I think I'm capable of driving safely above the speed limit, then why can't I? Those rules don't apply to me. When I'm meeting new people, I really want to impress them with how talented I am. I want the glory. I don't want someone else to have the glory. So maybe that means I bend the truth, or I speak badly of other people. Maybe that means that I'm really selfish, or I act hurtfully towards others. I want to be king of my own life. And being a Christian means recognizing that and repenting of it, turning to God and accepting Jesus as our rightful ruler and king, bowing down and submitting to him in all areas of life. Think about the characteristics that Joseph's brothers showed in this chapter. Envy, hate, anger, jealousy, murderous thoughts, greed, deceit. All of these in response to the thought of God's man ruling over them. What is it for you? In which areas of your lives do you feel like you don't want to submit to Jesus' rule? I think we all naturally want to reject God's man, Jesus. But God worked to ensure that he will be exalted. And it's amazing that God can even use horrible human actions to accomplish his purposes. And his purpose is to save people. He used Joseph to save many people in the time of Genesis from famine. But he sent Jesus to save people from eternity without God and all the good gifts that come from him. I think we should praise him for that. But more on that in future weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please show us the ways in which we naturally don't want to bow down to you. We're sorry for those. And please may we submit to Jesus' kingship in all areas of our lives. Thanks for this story of Joseph. And I pray that in the coming weeks, we'll come to learn more about you and see how you use your man to save the whole world. In your name we pray. Amen.